Good evening. If you would, join me in Isaiah 59. Isaiah chapter 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and an helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Let's pray. our gracious, glorious Heavenly Father. Lord, we are ever thankful that your hand is not short and your ear does not hear when we cry unto you. Lord, though our sins have separated us from you, yet you, in mercy, in grace, in wisdom, saw forth to bring by your right hand salvation in our Lord and our Savior, Christ Jesus. Lord, we who are nothing but sin, unfaithful, unloving, unjust, and yet you put your name upon us, and for your name's sake, you're faithful, you're merciful, you're loving, and you call us, and you cause us to cling to Christ. Lord, thank you. Oh, that we might worship you as you are. But we can't do it unless you send your Spirit. Lord, we pray that you'll come tonight, anoint Gary, bless him with power from on high, that he might exalt Christ. Give him all the glory in our salvation. And Lord, open our ears and our hearts that we might worship in spirit and in truth, that we might feast upon the living word of God once more. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for giving us a place to worship together, for protecting us, for Lord, how thankful we are that we live in a country where we are free to come together and worship and not have to hide away in caves and hollows. But we worship in the open, and you protect us, and you give us that liberty. Thank you, Father. Lord, we pray your blessing upon this congregation. Again, we ask for you to remember those that are sick and afflicted of mind, body, and soul. Strengthen them and comfort them. Lord, turn our hearts to you that we might rely on nothing other than you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, a very familiar portion of Scripture. I'm not going to tell you anything you don't already know. I'm just going to remind us of it. In Matthew chapter 16, we'll begin with verse 13. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." I take my text from Peter's confession here. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Well, they said, well, some people say you're John the Baptist, come back from the dead. Some say that you're Elijah, come back from glory. Some say that you are Jeremiah. Some say you're one of the prophets. But who do you, my disciples, my followers, who do you say that I am? You see, there are many who know about the Lord and can tell you a lot of things about them. For 40 years I spent studying, and I could tell you an awful lot about the Lord, but I didn't know him. Rather, he didn't know me. But I could have told you, I can still quote a lot of those verses that I memorized during college days. And I could tell you lots and lots of things from doctrine, point by point on certain things in doctrine. But you know what? Those things are not important. Not that important. The most important thing for me is to know him, Jesus Christ, my Lord. I can know all there is about doctrine. I could write doctrinal books if I had a mind to, and I come way short of that. But if I could write a doctrinal book, it would be meaningless. What we need to know is Jesus Christ. We need to see him. Paul said it this way, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. John said it this way, he that hath the Son hath life. Peter said it this way, to whom coming as unto a living stone, chosen of God and precious. We're talking about a person here. We're not talking about past events. Some think you're John the Baptist. Some think you're Elias. Some Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Not some great man, although there's a lot of people who think that Jesus Christ was a great man. But that's not enough. It doesn't take you right to who he is. There are some people who give you all kinds of half-truths. I got in trouble growing up a lot of times for telling a half-truth, didn't you? I just didn't tell it all. Told the part that was best on my side, but not the part that would get me in trouble. There's a lot of people out there that are telling a lot of half-truths about our Lord. But that's not enough. We had a rich young ruler come to Jesus and said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Good master, that's as far as actually he got in that passage. Because he was a wealthy man. He was a rich man. He was a young man and wealthy and rich. And there are some groups that are out there telling us that if you know the Lord and if you love the Lord and if you have enough faith, you're going to be wealthy. You're going to be rich. They ought to read the scripture, huh? And how about our Lord, who lived in poverty? God in flesh. God made man. Born in a poor situation in a stable, had nothing but stones for a pillow. The foxes had their nest, but he didn't have his. This young man was a self-righteous man. This man was trusting in what he was and what he had. But this man went away sorrowing because he didn't see who was actually in front of him. Now, he may be one who came to know Christ later, because the Bible does say the Lord had compassion on him. And the Lord's compassion is eternal. Nothing to be trifled with. Might have been Paul. Might have been Barnabas. He was a rich man. I don't know who it was. But he went away sorrowing. There was a man who came to Jesus by night. And he said, "Good master," again, "thou art a teacher sent from God. No man can do these things except God be with him." And you remember what the Lord said to him? He didn't even address what this man had said, what Nicodemus had said to him. He just turned around and said, "Nicodemus, you must be born again. There has to be something happen to you from above." Most things that men say are false when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, in the scriptures, especially the New Testament, he's called Beelzebub. He's called a winebibber. He's called gluttonous. He's called blasphemer. He's called a friend of sinners, and I like that one the best. They meant it a derogatory way. But he is a friend of sinners. And one day he showed me that he was my friend. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A friend that would give his life for me. There are some out there who are saying that God gave them a free will. I have my own will. The problem is that will is in bondage to sin. And the only choice it can make is sinful choices. I have to exercise my will before God can intervene. Let me tell you something. God is not hamstrung by your will. Man is born again not because he wills it to happen, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, not of him that willeth, not of him that runneth, but by God himself. God does what he wills. God does his pleasure, and his pleasure is always right. There are some who say, like in Psalm 14, verse 1, there is no God. Now, God labels them fools. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It says it again in Psalm 53, verse 1. There is no God. Look with me at a couple passages here in Psalms. They say there is no God. If there's no God, there's no responsibility. Isn't that it? That's why man says there is no God. I'm not responsible to anybody or to anything. I'm just, as they say it, I'm just responsible to me. And if you don't like me, turn your head. Look here with me in Psalm 12. In Psalm 12. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. For the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who have said, with our tongue we will prevail. With our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? There are some who say there is no God. The sad thing is, glorious in God's sight, but sad to us. The sad thing is, one of these times, if they don't wake up here, if God don't wake them up here, they're going to wake up like the rich man in hell. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Look at Psalm 10. Psalm 10. Verse 4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. They're not going to seek after God. God's not in all his thoughts. And should one say, well, yeah, I believe there is a God. But as one man told me years ago, I think he just sits, he created everything and he just sits out there and watches everything go by. What a God, which is no God. Because our God is in control. He guides every affair of life, and he does it for his people. But if they do say there is a God, look at Psalm 10, verse 6. Let me get back there. Psalm 10 and verse 6. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. He cannot move me. And verse 11. He has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see me. They think God is altogether as we are. He cannot move me. He's forgotten. He hides his face. He'll not see. I can do whatever he wants because God loves everybody. I can do whatever I want because God died for everybody. I can do whatever I want because anytime I want, I can just turn my will to him and say, okay, Lord, it's time. I'll do it. That's not how it'll happen. You see, they're like what Jesus said to some when he said, now, don't believe all these things. There'll be some who'll say, lo, there is Christ. Some will say, lo, here is Christ. Don't believe it. There's only one Lord. There's only one Savior. There's only one God. And Jesus Christ, the confession is, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The summation of the book of Judges is found in Judges 21:25. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's what's going on around us today. You see, a wrong view of Jesus Christ will yield this: ye shall die in your sins. Turn with me to John chapter 8. Hold your place there in Matthew 13, or 16 that is, and turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. This chapter begins with some people trying to stone an adulterous woman. And it ends with the same people trying to stone our Lord Jesus Christ. I find that interesting. I'm sure there's a correlation there, but I do know that the wages of sin is death, and the adulterous woman, according to the law, should have been stoned to death, but also the man should have been stoned to death. And because of what Jesus says in John chapter 8, they want to kill him. They hate him so much. What does man say about the Lord? And now these are religious leaders. These are the fundamentalists of the day. These are the law keepers. These are the holy ones. These are the hierarchy in religious realms. These are the fathers and the monsignors and all the others. These are the guys. Now listen to them, beginning in verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall live in the light. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I came and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? And he answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am, that's italics. If you believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. Look at verse 37. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. Look at verse 40. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that told you the truth. Verse 41. Ye do the deeds of your father. Verse 43, why do ye not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Now who's their father? Verse 44, ye are of your father, the devil. Verse 45, and because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Verse 47, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Verse 54, Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you, but I know him. The confession, this world is not willing to make, is Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. They can't make that confession. It's an impossibility. For even Jesus said back in Matthew chapter 16, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto me, unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. That's how you come to know that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What do God's people say about the Lord? That's their confession. That's what they say. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what all the disciples said, according to Mark chapter 8. All the disciples were involved in saying this. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Martha said it in John chapter 11. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. The Ethiopian said it when Philip had preached to him from Isaiah 53. Here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? If you believe all in your heart. An Ethiopian said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's our confession. That's who we know. John said it in chapter 20. Look at it with me, please. In John chapter 20. And look at verse 30. John 20 and verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciple, which are not written in this book. But these are written, why? That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. He is the Christ. What does Christ mean? One of John's disciples went to his friend and said, we've found the Messiah, which by interpretation is the Christ. He's the Messiah. I looked up Messiah in a dictionary just out of whim. I looked it up, and this is the answer the dictionary gave, or the definition the dictionary gave. A person who is expected to save a people from a bad situation. Well, that's close. He is the person who did save his people from their sins. That's the Messiah. That's the eternal covenant of grace. That's the everlasting covenant of the blood of the everlasting covenant. That's God's covenant. God chose a people. And Jesus Christ said he would be surety for those people. Not only surety for them, but he would go down, become a man. He would pay the price for sin. And then he would bring many sons to glory. And he's never failed, will not fail, has not failed. He's not going to fail. He's the Messiah. The word Messiah, the word Christ, means anointed. He's the anointed one. He's the elect of God. He's the one chosen in the Trinity to save God's chosen people. He was anointed the prophet. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. He's the Christ, the anointed prophet, Deuteronomy chapter 18, and go down to verse 15. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet, notice it's capitalized, a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him, ye shall hearken. Verse 18. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. He is the anointed prophet. What's a prophet do? He preaches. He tells the word. Well, why wouldn't he? He is the word. He is the word of God. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Why wouldn't he give us his word? And when he speaks, when he spoke, it was done. The leper came to him and said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. He said, I will, be thou clean. And it happened just like that. He spoke the word, and it was done. His life was a fulfillment of all prophecy. You see, the scripture reveals who he actually is. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is Christ, the anointed prophet. As a matter of fact, if we didn't catch it all the way through scripture, you look at the last book of scripture, And the very title is in the first few words. It's not the revelation of St. John, the divine. It's in the first few words. The revelation of Jesus Christ. So all scripture reveals he's the prophet who has written his word into our heart. And so when we hear the preaching of God's word, when we hear the truth being proclaimed, our hearts are knit with it. That's it. That's the gospel. That's the truth. You ever turned on your radio and one of these radio preachers comes on? Sometimes it doesn't take but just 2 or 3 seconds and you know he's a liar. How do you know that? Because the Word of God's written right there. It's written in our hearts. Our spirits are made to know. He is the anointed prophet. He's the anointed great high priest. He's the mediator. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. One mediator. Hebrews 9 tells us a little bit about that mediator. Hebrews 9, verse 14 and 15. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. He's the great high priest. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest would take the perfect lamb. Because of the imperfections of the picture, he would have to first sacrifice for himself, and then he would take a lamb and sacrifice for the people. And he would go into the Holy of Holies. But that is just a picture. Just a picture, a type, if you will. You see, our Lord brought the offering. The offering was himself. He is the lamb without spot or blemish. He is the innocent one. He brought the blood of that lamb, which was his own blood, and he took it into the Holy of Holies of glory. He willingly sacrificed himself. He willingly shed his blood for his people. He paid the sin debt. He put away the sins of his people. He reconciled his people to himself, to God the Father. Thou art the Christ, the anointed prophet, the anointed great high priest, the anointed king, King of kings, Lord of lords, the one that they had crucified. Peter said he has been made both Lord and Christ. He rules over all. All power is given unto me, he said after his resurrection. He finished the work. He's able to save. He effects his work in his people. He is able to keep his people unto that day. What day is that? When the final victory happens and we're standing before our God, our Lord, our Savior. Thou art the Christ. Now, I can't prove, nobody can prove to you that Jesus is the Christ. It can only be revealed. Oh, Father, reveal Christ to me. We can show prophecy. We can show in the Old Testament the prophecy in the New Testament that's fulfilled in Jesus Christ. But only God can reveal who he is. That's why we need to seek him. To whom coming? That's a continuous thing. And keep coming. I came a few years ago, but that wasn't enough. I just want to keep coming. I want to know him better. I want to know more about him, more about Jesus. Let me learn. I want to know him. The woman at the well said, well, we know when Messiah comes, he'll teach us and tell us all things. And the Lord said, he that speaketh unto thee is he. I'm he. I'm the Messiah. I am the Christ. Paul said it this way, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Unless one has Christ in him, he'll have no hope of glory. Not only is he the Christ in our confession, but he is the Son of the living God. The Son of the living God. Well, the Jews knew exactly what he was talking about. That's why they wanted to kill him. He was saying he was God. They didn't like that. How can any man be God? They didn't understand the scripture of Isaiah 7:14. He shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. Or Isaiah 9:6. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And even the Lord, according to Paul in Philippians 2, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation, took on the form of a servant, made in the likeness of man. One of his favorite terms, the Lord Jesus, as you read the gospel, one of the favorite terms he used of himself was Son of Man. That referred to his incarnation most of the time. But here we confess that he's not just Son of Man, but he's Son of God. He's God himself. No wonder the centurion stood there after he had heard all the words of Jesus from the cross and what Jesus had to say to the thief on the cross. No wonder that centurion stood there and said these words. Truly, verily, this man was the Son of God. Again, we're unable to prove to anybody that he is the Son of God. It can only be revealed. Has God revealed that to you? Oh, Father, reveal your Son to me. What does man say? He's full of lies. What do God's people say? They tell the truth. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What does the living God say? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. No one no one could please the Father but his Son. In obedience, perfect obedience, in his perfection, in his life, I do always those things that please the Father. The words that I speak, they are the Father's words. No one could please the Father like the Son. And he pleased the Father. And because he pleased the Father was pleased to bruise him, to set him on the cross, to bear the iniquities of his people, to make him to be sin for us who knew no sin. I like how John said it in 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. That's all I can do. That's all anyone can do who has any one of God's people who knows, who's to whom it's been revealed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's all they can do is declare it. Just declare it. Just tell it. I can't prove him, but I can declare him. I can declare him, and as I read the scriptures and declare him to myself, I can declare him when opportunity comes to preach to others. I can declare him. Now, how does that our Father reveal himself to his people? Through his word. Look at with me in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I'll try to wrap this up just as quickly as I can. What do people say about our Lord? What do God's people say about our Lord? What does the Father say about our Lord? Now, how does he reveal this to his people? In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Speaking of Jesus Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You heard the word of truth, and what was it? It was the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. How do I know I'm one of God's people? How does God reveal that to me? We studied Sunday morning, last Sunday morning, that he gave us to his Son. He draws us to his Son. The Spirit of God regenerates his people. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. We're born again, not of corruptible seed, but by incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. How can I know that I'm one of his people? Well, what are his people like? It was read to us just a while ago. We're all sinners. We're all sinners. You see, Christ came into this world to save sinners. Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. Christ came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Christ died for the ungodly. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He came for sinners. He calls to sinners. He calls to sinners like you and me. He says, come unto me. I'm the Christ, the Son of the living God. Only the Father can reveal that to you. Come unto me, I'll show you. Come. Come. Look unto me. He delights in mercy. Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. And what happened to that man? He went down to his house justified. He didn't have to go through catechism. He didn't have to go through steps of understanding. He didn't have to go to a Bible college to get it. God revealed it to him. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he went down to his house justified. Lord, reveal your anointed son to me. You know, if I did not know, if I wasn't sure, knowing what the Lord has revealed to me in these last few years, I would be on my knees begging, Lord, please show me. Lord, please reveal yourself to me. Lord, let me see the Christ. Lord, let me see the Son of God. Lord, do it for me. Lord, I plead with you. Oh, have mercy, mercy, mercy on me. And you know what? Every morning I wake up, I'm praying about the same prayer. Lord, have mercy on me. Reveal yourself to me, the sinner. The confession is, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for our time together. Thank you for the time of worship. And thank you, Lord, that you have met with us. We take that by faith because you said where two or three are gathered. Thank you, Lord, that you've been here with us. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for teaching us anew and afresh this great confession that Peter made. May it be the confession of everyone who is here tonight. Reveal to us that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll meet together again Wednesday evening. Good night.